You are listening to Embodied People, a podcast co-hosted by Sarah Donahue and myself, Colleen Wall. We are both somatic movement educators and dance professors. We are also faculty at Integrated Movement Studies. In this podcast, we explore all things embodied. We explore anatomy, we explore meaning, metaphor, and how we make sense of out of our lives through our bodies. We also talk about developmental motor patterning, how it affects our psychological and emotional and psychic states as adults. And we really love to offer you movement practices and meditations that deepen your experience of your body so that your body is a generative place for you in your life. That is, it helps guide you towards and supports you in living the life that is most fulfilling for you. This podcast is sponsored by Integrated Movement Studies, and that is a certification program in the Laban-Bartynieff Movement Studies system. And if you'd like more information on Integrated Movement Studies and what the Laban-Bartynieff system is, beyond what we offer in this podcast, you can check out our website, imsmovement.com. Hey, so welcome back to Embodied People. This is a mini-sode with Colleen, and today we're going to explore what is called the core distal pattern. And the core distal pattern is a motor pattern or a developmental pattern in which infants move through, and they really start moving through it when they're still in the womb, especially as the womb gets too tight and it's time to come out, and they start to push their elbows and knees and hands and feet against it from ignitions or surges deep from their navel center, their core, out to the edges. And ultimately that, you know, is part of the birthing process. And then this pattern of the center of me, my middle, in relationship, in connection to my distal edges, meaning my two arms through to my hands and my fingers, two legs through the feet to the toes, and then the center out through to the very top of the head, and the center to the tail, the vestigial tail. So we humans don't exactly have tails like a dog might have a tail, but we do have a memory of once having had a tail, and we have a coccyx and tailbone that takes us all the way down. So that means that there are six distalmost edges in the way this pattern is understood, and there's a center, and everything that happens at the edges of the body is supported by an alive and adaptable center. So what's this alive and adaptable center? You know, it's generally, sometimes I hear like, I want to have abs, that kind of thing in fitness, or harden the core. And sure, that is an option. We can harden and rigidify the center of us. But I think that what the dynamic fullness of adult life and even children, what our lives call for is not necessarily a rigid held center, because a rigid and held center, if you feel into that, it can break. It could, it holds something so dear that it's not pliable, but it's breakable. So an alive and adaptable center is a center in which there's movement, there's flow, there's the ability to be strong and supportive and hard when you need to be strong and supportive and hard. And you can also be soft and subtle and pliable and responsive when you need to be pliable and supple and, supple, that's the word, when you need to be supple. And so it's a center of us that has the ability to adapt to what the needs of the moment are. And this is a center that I think both can know itself and can swell to the different things that are asked of us at any time, but still knowing, still in connection to itself. And so this center, you know, you might think around the belly button, but more deep in the center of the body, not so much at the surface as the navel center. And I actually even like to go just below the belly button to the soft softer lower belly between basically the pubic bone and the navel center, like the space in front of the sacrum as the sense of core deep within that then supports, has radial support for the six limbs of the body. And sometimes this core distal pattern has a movement associated with it that you may or may not know, but I will describe it here. And this movement on an adult level reflects aspects of the Mora reflex or the startle reflex, and then the pulling into self. And the movement goes like this. I'll describe it now. But you would start laying on your back with your arms and legs out in an X. Legs are often a little closer than people think to one another, so that you can feel the hollowing, suctioning possibilities of the lower belly to begin or initiate this movement. So here you are laying on your back in an X and moving towards one side. All six limbs, arms, legs, head, tail, curl into a little ball on one side. And then you can reach through the core back onto your back. That's one possibility. Another possibility is all six limbs on into the core on one side that then radiate out, staying on that side, open like you're flying on one side of your body, and then pull back into the ball and then back onto your back. So it would be like X, ball on one side, X on the side, ball back on the side, back onto an X on your back. And this movement pattern reminds us, it's like revisiting something that happened early on in our motor patterning and our motor development, and revisiting it can help us reconnect to what is known at this stage in development, which is me, the center of me, and then the world out there, not me. So me deep in my guts, the world out there, and it can help us know the difference, help with differentiation between what's mine and what's out there. And then also help us explore how we and our bodies connect the center of us through where we put our hands and feet and eyes and tail, through where we place and how we engage our distals, in a way that we are then aware of and connecting to how we interact with, make sense out of, and shape the worlds in which we live. And so revisiting these movements as an adult can connect us to that psychology, to connect us to what's known by pulling into ourselves and then opening out to the world. It also can help us on a motor level experience and work through any glitches that may have happened in our movement development, and or because of our relatively often sedentary lives, it can reconnect us to that physical experience in a way that feels good. It brings us back home into ourselves and helps us move from the experience of being home and centered within ourselves such that we can pay attention to the world and environment out there and stay centered within us. So that's the movement that I wanted to connect to the core distal pattern. I also wanted to talk about the core distal pattern in relationship to the conversations that we have in life, whether it's challenging conversations or conversations where you need to both honor what's important to you, but be sensitive and present to what's important for other people. And that's this phrase of stay centered in myself, stay centered in yourself. And that's a phrase that I think is can be like a movement mantra. And when there's a pull from the world or another person, to maybe that could cause you to lose a sense of connection to your own center, that the core distal pattern can help you reconnecting to it, thinking about it, can help you stay aware of and aligned with what's core and central for you, while also tracking, but not necessarily needing to get sort of overtaken by what's important or what's core and central for somebody else. And so, like, staying connected to one's own gut, staying centered in oneself, as we navigate the important relational conversations and exchanges in our lives. And possibly another part of this is connected to self, what's here for me, what's true deep in my guts, what's deep in my guttural knowing, and then what's true and real and connected for this other person and their guttural knowing or this other group of people. And so that's like what's mine and what's not mine. That's my belief. I can be adaptable and present with my own beliefs, but also adaptable and present with someone else's and not have to entwine or collide them in a way that's not true, but that they can maybe be present with one another, work to support each other. So that's part of what can come up in this core distal pattern. Another thing that's often present in the core distal pattern is the activation of the distal ends. So the use of the hands or the feet or the head. The head includes the senses of the head end. So the eyes, the nose, sense of smell, the ears, what we hear, taking in sustenance through the mouth, and the tail, where we root down into the ground or into a chair that we sit upon. And also the tail that like can be like the rudder of a sailboat where we can orient one way or another way. So if my tail moves towards the left, it actually shifts my core and all parts of my body in relationship to it. So what's happening at any of these six distal ends isn't separate from what's happening through the rest of the body, but that a change in one part of the body can ripple and echo through to all other parts. So, you know, what's happening with my right arm is connected to and supported by the center of me and may even have a impact or a through line of connection to my feet and my tail. And so that's another really important and lively part of the core distal pattern is that one limb through an alive, adaptable center out to another limb. And you might see this starting to happen in babies as their eyes track to look at mom or dad or a toy. Their eyes track and their arm goes and then the core responds and then the legs unfold. Or they might turn their head over to one side and then that brings their spine and their body over and they're starting to roll over. And so we can really see that in babies. We can really see how what happens at the edges, there's a response in the center that then moves through to the other edges. And this helps them know both the wholeness of their body as well as the differentiations of exterior limbs, center, other limbs. Now, as adults, that might be harder to feel. We're probably less, most of us less practiced at it. But feeling that what's happening at the periphery or other parts of the body can be supported by, cause change through the center and out through to other limbs can, I'd encourage you to get onto your back to try it, laying down, or even if you're like sitting on the couch or a chair in your bed, but to start to feel how you can orient your distal limbs through in one place and feel how the change moves through to other parts of you. And there's a lot of different ways we can experience and connect to the meaning and metaphor of this pattern, but I think one of them is that when we allow or when we become curious or orient our energy in one direction, that it can move through us, that it can change us both deep in our core, but then also through the rest of our body. And that, again, can the idea of an adaptable center that changes as there's changes in me is very, very alive in this core distal pattern. So I think that's all that I want to leave you with for the core distal pattern for this week. And just a quick recap, an alive, adaptable center that can be both strong when it needs to be strong, but can be soft and supple when it needs to be soft and supple. A relationship from this adaptable center to the distal edges of the hands, feet, head and tail, and also from the hands, feet, head and tail back into the center. And that this pattern radiates into the center and from the center back out. These are pathways of flow. Something about this pattern teaching us about me, what's at the center of me, and what's not me, what's out there. What's mine, what's not mine. Me, world. And then how we navigate the connection between me and not me. There is something here as I sign off. I think often about like the common idea of like setting boundaries. I have to have boundaries. Well, boundaries do have something to do with what's at the edge that I can handle. But boundaries also require a center. They require a core that knows itself and a core that has a presence that has a sense of wisdom or presence in its center, in its core, that it can know what's important, what it will tolerate and what it won't, how to be adaptable, and also how to have a sense of yes and no for what works for it. So there you have it. Thank you for listening, and more soon.